Thank you, George. Our gospel lesson is from the Gospel of John, and this is taking place at the Last Supper before they sit down to eat, the story of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. So hear now and listen for how God is speaking to you through these words of the Gospel of John. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." And Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. And for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. And so if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their masters, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. For by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here ends the reading. Thanks be to God. Well, we read these same texts each year on Maundy Thursday, so if you've been here before, you know them well. There is no variation in Maundy Thursday texts. These are it. We have this passage from Exodus, the command from God through Moses to the Hebrew people who are still enslaved in Egypt at the time that they get this command to get ready for liberation. Because God is going to sweep through Egypt that night. The angel of death is going to come through Egypt that night, the 10th and last of the plagues. God is going to sweep through and kill the firstborn of every family and of all the animals in Egypt. And so the Hebrews are to put blood, lamb's blood, on their doorposts to keep death out of that house and to eat their meal dressed and ready to leave at a moment's notice, ready to go at any moment, as soon as God gives the word. And then from John's Gospel, we have this text of Jesus washing the feet of his disciples as they're gathered to eat a Passover meal. The meal that commemorates what we heard in Exodus, which was the night of the first Passover, death passing over the Hebrew people. So in John we have Jesus and his disciples eating a Passover meal, commemorating Passover, a tradition which the Jewish people continue to observe every year, 3,200 years after the first one. Probably one of the longest, if not the longest, continually observed religious ritual in human history. That this has been going on, this remembrance and celebration of the Passover. And we in the Christian church observing these Maundy Thursday observances, we're not even quite half that in age yet. And Passover in the time of Jesus and his disciples were together was already in its 1,200th or so year of being observed. That just amazes me to think that even in the time of Jesus, it's already over 1,000 years old, this ritual, and that still it goes on. And so this Passover meal, they're sharing a Passover meal in the upper room, and we're here this evening, this Maundy Thursday evening, also to remember, celebrate communion. Maundy, as I mentioned before, is a word that means mandate, or as it was translated in the reading from John, command. Think Maundy, mandate, come from the same root in Latin. A new command I give you, mandatum novum dorobis, that you love one another as I have loved you. And so this day and this evening is our time to remember Jesus' meal with his disciples and to especially remember this command to love one another. To love one another. And to love one another with this qualifier, Jesus said, as I have loved you. And there's an issue with that word as. This came up during the Wednesday nights that we were here, super in Scripture, talking about the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer has this line, forgive us our sins as we forgive our debtors. We had some great conversation on what that as might mean. Are we asking God to forgive us our debts because we have forgiven our debtors, or are we asking God only to forgive us however well we manage to do it? Which probably isn't always all that great. Consensus around the table is that probably saying, you know, God, do a better job than we do. Forgive us fully. Forgive us. And so here, Jesus saying, you know, do we love one another because Jesus loves us, or do we love one another in the same way that Jesus loves us? What does that as there mean? And the more difficult option is the latter one, to love one another in the same way that Jesus loves, and because it's the most difficult, that's probably what Jesus intended. We're often not asked to do what's easiest, but do what is the most difficult. And Jesus, whose love allowed him to come to Jerusalem in this Holy Week to be crucified. That kind of a love. That kind of love. That kind of love that as the Hebrews were spared the deaths of their firstborn on Passover, Jesus, who is God's firstborn, is not spared. Jesus will die. This is the night of his betrayal. That kind of love. That kind of love that drove Jesus to the cross, knowing what's going to happen. But before he died for us, for that, out of his love for us, Jesus did gather his disciples. He commemorated Passover as a good Jewish man. His disciples being good Jewish faithful people. They came together to commemorate Passover, to honor who they were as a people. To remember their story that they are a people who were brought out of Egypt because God had chosen them and because God had loved them. Not because they did anything particularly special, but just that God loved them and wanted them to be free. So at this Passover meal, they remember the story of the Exodus, that first night of Passover and their liberation from Egypt. And Jesus also washed their feet, an act of love in humility, service to his disciples, and then he fed them the Passover meal and changed the meal up a little bit. Because during the meal, he took the bread and said, "This bread is my body broken for you. This is my body broken for us." And the cup became the cup of a new covenant, his blood. Remember the blood on the doorposts of the Hebrews, the Lamb's blood. Jesus said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, his blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." That kind of love. Love one another as I have loved you. That kind of love. And so I thought tonight to change things up a little bit during the communion. We will come up to the table and stand in a circle and serve one another. But there's just a beautiful new translation of the Haggadah, the Seder meal, that the Jewish people use at the Passover meal. It's full of prayers and songs and all sorts of wonderful stuff. This text that they read and sing throughout the meal as they commemorate Passover. I have a new one, and I'm going to read parts of that tonight as part of our communion. This recounting the story of the people in Israel and Egypt and their liberation from Pharaoh. One thing that always strikes me when I was in seminary, invited to a Jewish family's house for a Passover meal, and I'd never been to one, and that's the only one I've been to since. But one thing that really struck me in their retelling of the story is that it never says God rescued them, or that this was something, you know, that happened to them or they thousands of years ago. It was us. It's our story. When God brought us out of Egypt, there was a sense of continuity and connectedness with the past and knowing that God continues to liberate and to save us. I always found that remarkable. Even 3,200 years later, it's still our story. And we're not Jewish, but we come out of a Jewish tradition, and certainly the Exodus is also part of our story as well. And so let us sing our hymn now, and then after that we're going to move into communion, and as we do, remember that this phrase, "as I loved you," "as I loved you," is the love that washes and that feeds and that sacrifices and that ultimately rises from death, to defeat death, and to truly liberate us for all time. Amen.